This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Intense pressure now on the Paris Saint-Germain defense. It's Neymar trying to feed it through. It's a stretch!
I mean, the commentator's almost inaudible. It's so loud, and that's through television. Incredible comeback today, 6-5 on aggregate. They score 3 goals in 7 minutes. Neymar's a part of all of them. Free kick in the course of 90 minutes, 88th minute. Then he hits it from the penalty spot, and then he's the one who clips the ball in to Sergio Roberto. It's unbelievable. People shaking their heads about that one. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for Kings Court. 903 Hutchins. Eddie's been down there with me. We've eaten some good Indian food there. It's on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. 13 TVs at Kings Court. Fans are going in there pre and post game. So El Bateon goes in there pre and post game. It was so much fun after the game the other night. If I accepted every drink that was being handed around there, it could have been real problems for me. But I appreciated everybody's being in such great spirits down there. And I'm hopefully going to bring Eddie there after this one. Corey, you should come there too. And Tom Clare's there all the time whenever Manchester United plays. So it's the Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, rooftop patio, and real soccer feel out of all the bars around the stadium and pubs. All right, former Dynamo defender Eddie Robinson, also color analyst on Cube 57 for Dynamo Broadcasts. And Corey Ash is in here, the 8.5 seasons at left back. And since the Dynamo came to Houston, there's really only been two definitive left backs. Wade Barrett had the job for a while, and Corey Ash. So these are the two left backs that you think of. And, of course, author and historian Tom Clare. I'm going to start with Corey, though, because it's pretty significant in life when somebody brings you back to honor you for a body of work that you've put together. And, you know, some people don't have that honoring. And in your case, this is going to be a pretty nice day on Saturday when Columbus comes to town and the Dynamo honor you.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I'm looking forward to. I mean, I really wasn't expecting it. Brian had took me out for coffee and kind of mentioned that the club wanted to honor me, and it's just it's a great honor. You know, it's something I'm looking forward to. Closes out on my soccer career, you know, where I started. And it's funny that I'd, you know, come back here and I end it. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, they're going to award you an Audi, by the way, a new car. So I don't know if you know. Oh, shoot. Did I just let that slip out of the bag? They're going to drive you.
I thought when you said Audi, you meant belly button.
No, I'm not sure the Audi. Dynamo want me to set that precedent right now.
An Audi, all right.
Corey, I'm going to say the memories thing, and I know it's going to be locker room friendships and all, but what are some of the things that jump out about you having played with guys like Eddie and on these great teams in the early Dynamo years?
The first memory that comes to mind is getting drafted 07, you know, playing with guys like Eddie, Craig Weibel, Brian Mullen, Dwayne DiRosario, you know, the list goes on, Brian Ching, playing with those types of players, you know, that laid it on the line for 90 minutes every game, you know, winning a championship and kind of molding me into the player that I became, which, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, obviously, I was the best player, but I think one thing I can be happy about is each game I left it on the field. And that was, you know, what I learned from these guys was, you know, you either compete. If you don't compete, you're not on the field. So, I mean, that's definitely something that I take away. And, I mean, obviously, the friendships. I mean, it's the friendships, you know, it turns into a family, you know. And that's another thing that I learned from the 07 group was you're more than a team. You know, you hang out with each other off the field. So, I mean, the chemistry on the field it comes easy. So, for me, it was – you know, like I said, learning from these guys, but I mean, having relationships. I mean, with Jeff Cameron, I lived with him for 5 years. I mean, the guy he and I still talk. Mike Jabala, you know, so players like that. I mean, those are friendships that you just create and that you enjoy. The locker room stuff. I mean, that's, you know, second to none. That could really never be recreated. I mean, it was always a joy, you know, maybe not always the soccer side of it, but when you got in the locker room, just being around the guys, it's a blast. So, and obviously winning. I mean, like I said, I won a championship in 07, was able to win a couple conference championships, you know, go to the finals, made the All-Star team twice, you know, being a part of that, although I didn't play, but getting called in to the Gold Cup, you know, and you know, being a part of that national team, is, you know, that's... it's fantastic. So, I mean, those are the things that really stick out for me.
Quite the achievements. I think one of the things that endeared you to Dynamo fans was this fiery attitude that you had. So I think it's fair to say you played with a healthy anger, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I grew up...
I think so did Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you think you learned it from?
Exactly.
Jeez, the guys you named at the beginning were all psychotic.
Notice how I put healthy in front of that just to soften it up a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, it's for me, it was... you know, I come from a military family. My dad was a Marine for 22 years.
And so do I. So I have an anger problem too.
But I mean, you know, it's you compete and you leave it out, you know, all on the field. And for me, I was a little guy. I mean, everyone knew me as, you know, the guy who was, you know, barely 5 feet tall. So it's like, for me, I played with a chip on my shoulder. I had something to prove. I wanted to show, you know, everyone else that I could compete at that level, because for the longest I had been told I wouldn't succeed because of my height. And that was always the driving force. Oh, you know, your height. And for me, it was when I go out on the field, you know, I want to leave a lasting impression. You know, I want to inspire the kids that are watching that may not be tall, or, you know, maybe told that they won't succeed. I mean, if your heart's big enough, you can find a way. And so that's when I stepped out on the field. That's what I tried to prove.
Yeah, I didn't mean that I have an anger issue, but when you grow up in a Marine household, there is a level of discipline and there is structure, and you kind of have to. I'm sure we would have some fun telling stories about our fathers, because there were some differing methods of discipline in my household, which, you know, put the fear of God in me. So it made me very much think about what I was going to do in the community, because I didn't want to face the wrath of that guy when I got home.
Yeah.
And he's a very gentle man now, loves his dog, and is still living at 91 after going to Okinawa.
On that size thing Corey's going on, Ferguson once said, watching Paul Scholes, he said, he'll never make it.
Really?
Because of his size. And who was stood with him but the great Brian Robson. And Brian Robson said, really, boss? He said, no. He said, he's not going to make it. And few seconds later, 30 yards, bang, in the back of the net. And Brian said, what were you saying, boss?
Tom Clare, author and historian. By the way, that's disturbing to me, though, that anybody nowadays in the youth game are telling people they're limiting people because of their size. Because, by the way, some of the best soccer players in the world, as we all know, are 5'6", 5'7". So anybody who's saying that, if you're a little kid or a parent, don't listen to it. Tom, before I get to you, I'm going to just jump to Eddie here. Let's just get your opening thoughts on the Dynamo game and the win over Seattle, the 2-1 win. I know we've talked about it a lot, but let's have our listeners hear what you think.
We have. The most refreshing thing to me, and I think that Corey will agree with this, is when the coach comes out and says, we are not a possession team. This is who we are. We're going to counterattack, and we might give up some chances, but we're going to create more than we give up, and we're going to score more goals than we concede. So the one thing I take from that is this is a confident team. It's a confident coach. And of the 34 games the Dynamo will play this year, we do 25 on the cube. I think 32 to 33 of them will be absolutely end-to-end and exciting, and people are going to enjoy them.
So I'm going to say this. I don't totally agree that it's a counterattacking team. It's a team capable now of counterattacking because of these Honduran players in Kyoto and Elise. But it is a team that can also press. So it's a team that can win a ball in and around an opponent's goal, which will lead to immediate chances, which we saw.
Fair point. This
team hasn't had that penetration or pace for, you know, since the Ice Age.
Yeah,
we're being honest, this is the truth.
Any defensive set piece, at least in the first half, the first 70 minutes, the Dynamo had three players at midfield. So while your opponent can't have as many attackers, now you have outballs, right? If you look at Seattle defended with 11. And it was a situation where, what are they going to do with the ball if they win it and clear it? I mean, this is the wingers, Elise and Kyoto, did not defend. That left a lot to do in the first half for Ricardo Clark, Eric Alexander and Alex Lima, also A.J. De La Garza and DeMarcus Beasley. In the first half, they had a lot of energy. They could cover that ground. But in the second half, we saw the difference. So now, hopefully this week, the Dynamo took a look at how do we fight that fatigue? How do we keep these guys from doing so much work in the first half so they're not completely exhausted in the second half?
A.J. De La Garza, I asked him that question, and we can maybe pull that soundbite. The other beautiful thing is with having pace now is when you are under pressure and again, this is something this team has never had, this element of a counterattack. Now, if you are pinned in your own half of the field, guess what? You got to honor two guys that can fly, okay? They're going to occupy people. It's a whole different possibility that's here. We're not jumping the gun. It's a very tough system to play physically. It's a suffocating system. But these two players, Kyoto and Elise, for me, have changed the Dynamo. Now, Tom, I'm going to take you to Manchester United because Latan, the emperor, is not going to be around for a couple of games. So what happens without Zlatan? I mean, are we going to lift the curtain here? And are they going to be able to absorb his absence because he's such a focal point?
It's not whether they can absorb his absence. They've got to if they're going to stay in and compete there. But it's tailor-made, I think, for Wayne Rooney. I think Wayne he will step up to the plate. We've got the fixture in Rostov tomorrow on a ground that's absolutely horrid.
On Twitter today, they bounce the ball, it goes 30 yards in the air.
It's like, I don't know, you know, I mean, for a first-class game to be played on a pitch like that.
Say to all those UEFA Champions League elitists, by the way, you play on bad fields just like in CONCACAF.
Exactly.
We can all do it.
But you've got to get on with it. It's as simple as that. You've got to get on with it and deal with it. And then we've got a few games afterwards, league games. Chelsea on Monday night is going to be one.
I'm excited for that one.
You know, I would love to be there, actually. But again, in cup games at Chelsea, we've normally done pretty well. But it's a one-off game. And I think they'll be up for it. But maybe the travelling will take some effect. And of course, there's got to be a result on Monday night.
How do they play differently without Zlatan now and Wayne coming back into the picture? Because, the man is spectacular.
Well, it's like
he's a different guy to play the ball into.
He's one of these players. There's only one Ibrahimovic, you know. Yeah. Like we were saying earlier on, he's got that thing that strikers, they're born naturally with it. They get in the right positions at the right time. You can't coach it to them. It's natural to them. And his skill, his movement, if you watch him off the ball, his movement is incredible. But we've also got some young kids there. I mean, Anthony Martial's only 20, Rashford's 19. They're still learning the trade. But they're going to come on, you know, and I'm pretty hopeful for it. And I'm glad to see them in there.
The big miss is really, well, listen, the Premier League games are pressure, but the big miss is him in the Chelsea game, right?
Yeah. And then Chelsea, you know, at the moment, the way they're playing, I mean, they're very, very strong. Very, very, very strong. Especially, you know, you've no time on the ball with them. They will press you and they will, you know, they will push you. And, of course, with Costa up there, he's going to give them a
when they win the
time.
Ball, they absolutely fly at people. Yeah, yeah. It's frightening how fast they get at people. And it's not one or two guys. Yeah. It's like four or five guys flying.
That is the thing, you know. All of a sudden, they'll win the ball back.
Well, look at me. Look at West Ham. Yeah. The game against West Ham. Yeah, yeah. West Ham has a free kick outside of Chelsea's box, and in 10 seconds,
he's in the back of the net.
Hazard scores.
Yeah. But it's like I say, I'm hopeful for it. As long as we don't concede early on Monday night. As long as we don't do what we did in the league game there, when we give that silly goal away after 30 seconds. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
How prioritized is the Europa League for them? I mean, because this is their ticket into the Champions League.
It is. But again, today I had one eye on the Manchester City result.
What was that result?
0-0.
Still goal.
So those four places below Chelsea, they're all up for grabs.
Yeah. I'm glad I chose Champions League over Premier League today.
Yeah, I mean, but I've got to give it Stoke City. Their defensive performance. And Ryan Shawcross today was absolutely outstanding.
Jeff Cameron, he got 90 minutes, didn't he?
I think so. I didn't watch all of it.
We'll find that out. Jeff Cameron, former teammate.
But again, I mean, City, for all the flair, for everything they've got, they just could not break Stoke down. And Mark Hughes did it.
And then you got this bizarre nature of Liverpool, who against the bigger teams play as well, and they can't get it done against the others.
To me, they're enigmatic at the moment. You don't know from 1 week to the next what you're going to get. You know.
Well, I called a game early in the year when they played AC Milan in a preseason game with Steve Nicol, the former Liverpool legend. And I remember us on that broadcast very much talking about the fact that we didn't think they had bought enough in certain areas of the team, left back, and especially defensive positions.
Yeah, well, that's where I think their weakness is, and I think teams know that they're defensively they're poor. But, Klopp has done a fair old job with them so far, and I think both him and Pep have found out just what the Premier League's about, and it's been a bit of a culture shock for them.
Yeah. Eddie, Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool. Chelsea, I don't think there's any question, Corey and Eddie, that since they don't have any European football, it's theirs to lose. I don't see them losing. I see them even not playing well and still winning games. What about the fight for the other places? Because I guess that's Tom's point. That's going to be the thing to watch.
What happens if something happens to Harry Kane? What happens to Tottenham? They're not scoring any more goals. I think that's pretty obvious. And then Arsenal, the way that they just gave up yesterday.
That was bad.
If that continues for the next few weeks, move them out. I think that Man United and Liverpool can move in the top four.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, the way Arsenal played, I agree. I mean, their last game, it just kind of seemed like, they gave up. I mean, giving the ball away in obviously terrible parts of the field. You're in your back third, obviously, you can't do that. I agree.
I mean, they all got interesting storylines, right? Because United's got to do it now without Zlatan for a couple games. You got Arsenal imploding. Is the manager staying or going? There's a locker room problem there with Alexis. There's no problem. No doubt about that.
Look at the fixtures.
Liverpool.
Look at the fixtures. Mid-April to mid-May. And all those top teams have got to play each other.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of
United
it,
United have a very, very tough run in. So it will be difficult, but, you know, that's what you're there for.
That's what makes it fun, right?
Listen, I keep wondering, can Harry Kane keep this pace in every single game? He keeps doing it, but if he doesn't, are you going to count on Son?
Talk Spurs, if there's anybody out there. 713-780-3776. We're talking Premier League. We're talking Dynamo. Corey Ash, former Dynamo in studio, is going to be honored at the Columbus Crew game this weekend. Eddie Robinson here, and also Tom Clare, the author and historian, all in studio. 713-780-3776. Don't be afraid to wade in here. You can have something to say. We got a little charity talk when we come back as well, but we're going to keep the soccer talk flowing here tonight. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. They do it better than most. Modern American comfort food, their classics taken up several notches. Got a lot of wonderful things over there. Creole gumbo, oysters and a raw bar, cowboy surfers. burger bowls, chops, steaks, ribs, fish. You name it, they have it. Weekend specials, signature cocktails, cold beer. It's making me hungry right now. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. They got a number of different locations. I usually head over to the Heights location, which is more like an Austin feel. But they have River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, which is a very cool spot, Garden Oaks. And then Treehouse Memorial City, where Atlanta Falcons owner and Atlanta United owner Arthur Blank ate there during the Super Bowl. So, and that's not the reason to go. Go because the food is excellent. Take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
We put our glass to the sky and lift up and live tonight because you can't take it with you. So raise a pint for the people that aren't with us and live tonight because you can't take it with you. We put our glass to the sky and lift up.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm Mark Hughes, Stoke City manager, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
Got a little word there from Jeff Cameron's manager there. Oh, Mark Hughes is a big fan of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. He's keeping up on MLS. Huh?
Who'd you have to pay to get that?
To get Mark?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I like about Mark? Because these are legendary old school guys.
He's a celebrity.
And I love
after the 0-0 draw.
I love seeing him walk into the stadium leading his team in because the guy's all business. And I'll tell you what, and I want to ask you guys this, and I may be overstepping it. I love seeing a coach in a suit. I love seeing Wilmer Cabrera in a suit. And I don't know what it's going to be like when it's 90 degrees. But to me, it was perfect for his personality, and it was the perfect statement to his players because this guy's serious, and he means business, and he knows there's a level of urgency to keep a job and turn a franchise around. Hey,
let me ask Tom this, and you're going to have to remind me. I went to, when I was in high school, I think I was a sophomore, I think it was 94, 95, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. The charity shield was Blackburn, Man United. Mm-hmm. I got an autograph ball from Man United, believe it or not.
You still got it.
I sat right behind the Queen's box at Wembley. Mm-hmm. It was the greatest thing I didn't realize was great that has ever happened to me. Was that what year was that? Was that?
No, it was probably 95, 96.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to my original question.
Sorry. I don't know where
he's this is.
Hey, Mark, wait, Mark Hughes.
Last I heard, the
Mark
host
Hughes.
Of Soccer Matters Mark was Hughes. Glenn yeah. Davis. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, but it's okay.
Sorry, so you invite me
go
on
back
so
to
much.
The suit.
Just lose
no,
my,
no,
just,
no. I share it with you. You know
I lose my way, but
it's okay.
It was Mark Hughes, and he's one of the autographs I specifically remember. And at the time,
great striker.
I didn't realize what I had.
Saw him as a kid.
I had a picture with Nicky Butt, Ryan Giggs, and I'm trying to remember who else. But at the
Beckham.
Time, they were young.
Beckham?
Yeah, it Scholes, wasn't David Beckham. Scholes, it was at their training Scholes. Facility.
Yeah, the one that.
And I'm looking, and I'm like, who are these guys? The I don't care. I'm American, and I'm 16. I don't know who these guys are.
The training
I look
facility
back, and
with
I'm
one
like,
pitch.
Yes.
Okay, now back to my original right, question. Well, I'm going to go to Corey because I can't get it from Eddie. I tried.
Yeah, suits are awesome. Except in Houston
when it's
August.
What do you think about that? I mean, I just thought he
it's a presence.
Exuded a presence,
it's a presence yeah.
and a seriousness
it's a
that I think we need here in Houston.
It's a statement. You know, he's there. You know, this is the way we do things. And, you know, it sets the bar where it should be.
And, Corey, when Ramel Quioto scored the Honduran, I think you saw the video. Did you see he ran over and embraced Wilmer Cabrera?
Yeah. I mean, that's for me, that's great because, I mean, everyone, you know, the whole team came over. So, I mean, it just shows – you know, like I commented earlier about the chemistry. I mean, it shows that everybody's on the same page. They're excited. I mean, that it was a great goal. So just to see him embrace the coach, I mean, it's fantastic. So they definitely, I mean, if they keep flying the way, you know, they did in the first half, it's going to be a great season for them.
713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Columbus Crew Houston Dynamo this Saturday. Pregame show on Cube 57. Eddie Robinson, myself, and Cindy Bourbano on the call. That's if you're not at the game live and you choose to watch it at home. But we picked off a nice little rating in our first game, which is the beauty of being on Cube 57. So that in itself is exciting. All right, Eddie, I take you back to the Dynamo. I take you back to Kyoto and Elise, and I say, yes, we're going to want them to do some defending, and they're going to need to. But on the other hand, I think Wilmer Cabrera's not going to saddle them with too much defensive responsibility because they're brought here to impose themselves on an opponent and create chances and score goals.
If he does not saddle them with that defensive responsibility, then he has to tell Alex Lima, Ricardo Clark, and whether it's Eric Alexander or Juan David Cabezas, they got to slow down because they only lasted 45 minutes. Yeah. Ricardo Clark came out right at the beginning of the second half. This is a situation where it was tremendous in the first half. 15 shots for the Dynamo. I saw a stat last season. Only one team, Kansas City, in one game, 16 shots in the first half. No one beat that last season. So that's an amazing stat. But when you look at the second half and what the Dynamo gave up, and so much of it was on the Dynamo's right side, the left side, and Elise must defend more. If he's not going to, then Wilmer Cabrera has to figure out how he is going to set up that midfield three that they can still come out of the middle to defend the outside backs of their opponent when they attack without giving away so much energy and fitness, because the second half was a completely different story.
By the way, Elise was very poor on the goal, the way he just let, I can't remember who waltzed around, Jovan Jones, and then goes to Dempsey at the back post.
Jovan Jones
does what he does.
He was the best player for Seattle. He was outstanding. Don't take anything away from him.
But I will say AJ De La Garza, even trying to figure it out with Elise, was outstanding.
Yeah.
Corey, what'd you think of his play? Because you as an outside back.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough, you know, when you have to deal with two players, you know, the whole communicating. But no, I mean, I thought for the most part, AJ did well. But I mean, I do agree with what Eddie is saying, because I mean, you play a team like Columbus. Columbus is, you know, obviously they've scouted Houston, and they understand that, you know, these guys aren't going to defend. They're gonna try to capitalize on that. They're gonna push, you know, their outside backs forward and try to capitalize it. I mean, the big thing with Columbus is overloads. They love to find the 3-on-2s, the 2-on-3, you know, 2v1s. That's what they do. You mean, you have Harrison Afful and, you know, Ethan Finley, Higuain will slide over. I mean, those are three guys right there. You have, they're not stationary players, they're active players. I mean, where one is, you know, cutting across the middle and the other one's going down the line. I mean, when Higuain has the ball, I mean, the guy's a magician when he's healthy.
Fabulous.
So for them, I mean, it's going to be it'll be an interesting test. I mean, I'm excited because, I mean, it's two great attacking teams. So, you know, they'll have their work cut out for them.
But two very differing styles, right?
And
this is the thing. I interviewed Greg Berhalter.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's selling me a bill of goods here. He says, look, we build out of the back.
Yep.
We're not changing that.
Right.
Wilmer Cabrera, we are going to press. This is who we are. Yep. So this is what makes this game, to me, Tom, very, very interesting, because it's a clash of styles, and yep, both coaches are not going to alter themselves at this point of the season for someone else.
No. You know, I mean, Dynamo have had a great preseason. They've got a good result on the back of the first game. Breeds confidence. You know, it's early doors. They're coming together. They've got, you know, everything to play for, and if they've got that confidence in the coach, you know, it transmits itself onto the field.
Well, I mean, and Seattle was similar. This is something I said. They wanted to cut their nose off to spite their face. They had to play out of the back. How many chances the Dynamo created because Seattle had to play short, whether it was outside the 18, whether it was the top of the 18 to Osvaldo Alonso, and the Dynamo pressed and won. And then we've got Corey Ash here, who's played for this team and this coach, who Columbus knows if I'm Wilmer Cabrera, I'm, hey, Corey, I'm going to pay you. Come on in. Tell us what they're going to do. I'm asking for that. I mean, this is there's nobody else in Houston that knows more about Columbus. The style of play that Columbus has than Corey Ash. And we're sitting here listening to it, and I'm thinking, God, I think that suits the Dynamo, at least in the first half. If they can create the same amount of attacking opportunities.
The energy and the pace that they had in that first half, I mean, it really opened my eyes. Yeah. You know, I couldn't believe what I was seeing after what we've watched the last three seasons.
Yeah,
I mean, I definitely think the Dynamo will get chances because, like you said, Glenn, Greg loves to play out of the back, and even the goalkeepers. I mean, the goalkeeper gets the ball, and I mean, they have different plays where even on the goal kicks, it's either they play it short or they try to suck you to one side, and you know they'll have either a midfielder checking in, and then you know if guys shift and they look for the outside back. Very rarely do they kick it long, and they try to build out, but. You know, there were times last year where I'm, you know, asking myself in the field, like, why aren't we just getting rid of the ball? You know, because if, you know, you
make causing problems teams, for
yeah,
ourselves.
You, yeah, yeah. And you're trying to play out of stuff. And you get too cute. I mean, if the Dynamo pressure, I mean, the big thing is the turnovers. I mean, the Dynamo have fast players, and all it takes is one pass, and you're through the goal. So
this is the beauty of these guys, though. I mean, just these two signings, without doing anything else, has brought the Dynamo a counterattacking game. It's brought them a threat behind defenses. It's brought them this beautiful thing that tells you you don't have to have 15 passes in a row and score the goal of the year. You can have a guy who can strip a defender who's dwelling on the ball and who's not concentrating and can walk in and score you what we might call, and I'm not saying it's an easy goal, but it's a goal you've earned because you've pressed and won a ball near an opponent's goal. And that we haven't seen that here.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that, as a defender, it makes you think. If I turn this ball over, you know, you're going straight to goal. I mean, perfect example is David Akam for Chicago.
Well, I like him.
You give him the ball, and this guy, I mean, he'll hurt you. Same thing with a guy like Dominic Oduro. Speed, it just gives you something to think about. And even when, like Eddie said, when, you know, on a free kick or whatever the case is, when those players are high and you're a defender and that ball goes over your head, I mean, it gives you something to think about. So, I mean, there's pros and cons.
At least
both.
You were fast, Corey. I wasn't. I had to be smart because I didn't have any pace.
Yeah. But, I mean, it gives you something to think about. So,
Corey Ash joining us in studio. And as Eddie mentioned, you played for the Columbus Crew and Orlando City after leaving 8.5 years here in Dynamo territory. He's going to be honored at the Columbus Crew game this weekend. So, looking forward to Corey's big day down there, a well-deserved honor. Eddie Robinson will be on the broadcast with me. Sorry, buddy. Things happen.
It is what it is.
And and Tom Clare, as always, so good to have you in studio here. And before, Tom, right now, let's take a quick hit about the Sportsman's Dinner. Talk about it. Sell it to me.
Yeah, well,
because I'm going to be there. You don't have to sell it to me, but sell it to my listeners.
I know you're going to be there. Well, as you know, over the last 15 years, I've run a dinner back in UK on the last home game of Manchester United season. Hold a dinner and... The proceeds have gone to local children's charities. And last year, we had a little talk, as you know, and I said, well, why can't we do it here? And why can't we support the Kick Cancer Children's Curing Children's Cancer Fund? So we looked at it and we said, well, yeah, there's no reason why not. So I got in touch with Norman Whiteside, the Manchester United and Northern Ireland international star, and I asked Norman whether he would be agreeable to come out, and he was delighted. He was absolutely delighted. And Jesus Martinez, who's the president of the Bayou City Blues, the Chelsea group, he got to know, and he said, well, could we come in? Could we join you and help with this event? And he got in touch with Bobby Tamblyn, the former Chelsea and England international star who held their goal scoring record until recently when Frank Lampard broke it. And Bobby Tamblyn has agreed to come out as well. So we've got a star-studded evening, which is going to be held at the Doubletree Hotel down on 400 Dallas in the downtown. It'll be a superb evening. There's a wonderful three-course meal. Bobby and Norman will talk about their careers. I will talk for a short while. And we will finish off with an auction of some tremendous items that we've got there, memorabilia, not only from Manchester United and or Chelsea. And the thing I do want to stress is this isn't just a Manchester United and Chelsea event.
No, this is anybody who loves the Premier League, anybody who loves soccer, football.
We're reaching out to the Euston soccer community. We've got a great community here, especially with the Premier League clubs as well. And that's what it's about. It's about, it transcends our rivalries. It's about bringing us all together to support such a wonderful cause for our local children. And we're hoping to raise a fair amount for it. The tickets are $135. If anybody would like to get in touch with me, my home number is 281-812-4805, and I'll be pleased to put them in
Tom's beautiful wife Cheryl has helped so much with this.
She has indeed.
You're such a generous man, honestly, Tom. I'm just so glad our paths crossed.
But I can guarantee whoever attends will be in for a wonderful evening, especially with Norman, and to get to Norman, to meet Norman and meet him away from the table. He's an absolute star. He's got some wonderful, wonderful memories.
Stories are going to be great. The memories are going to be great. If you're a Premier League fan, Houston, support this. It's for all the right reasons. It's meal. It's drinks. It's at the DoubleTree 400 Dallas. Go to group/Houston Red Army on Facebook or call Tom Clare at 281-812-4805. There's no way this gets done without Tom Clare and his wife, Cheryl. I can assure you that. It's one thing I can assure you.
You've got Tom Clare's home number. What more do you want? That's worth $135 right there.
It is. Take a quick break here. By the way, yes, Jeff Cameron went 90 minutes today, so he's in a race to hopefully play against Honduras at the end of the month. Dynamo Crew this weekend. I've got a pair of tickets right now. Sixth caller at 713-780-3776. Sixth caller, 713-780-3776. A pair of Dynamo tickets.
Yeah, he's really...
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, it was unbelievable today. 6-5 on aggregate, Barcelona knocking out PSG. They jumped to the top of the favorites to win the Champions League. Now, we'll take your calls on that if you want, 713-780-3776. In studio, former Dynamo defender Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender Corey Ash, and author and historian, you want to know about Manchester United, it's Tom Clare. You name it, he knows it. So we're talking about a number of different things here. You going down to King's Court to watch United tomorrow? What time is it?
Midday. Early. 11. 11:30 kickoff. 11:30
no, Eastern. Noon.
Oh, I made noon.
I thought that was East Coast.
No.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Yeah. Coverage starts at 11:30 Central.
Tom doesn't
30 minute
care about
pregame.
Coverage.
He doesn't care about coverage.
No.
My apologies. Yes. I saw it on Fox Soccer today when I was watching because I want to watch. I want to watch raw stuff. I want to see how the ball bounces. Yeah.
What type of crowd? You know, it's midweek. It's during a work day. How many people come to your supporters group?
We don't do too bad, actually. I think the last game that kicked off at this time, we had about 30 in there. And all, from the Facebook page today, I think there's 23 down to go and watch it.
So there's a strain of the Bangkok flu going through Houston, through Manchester United.
And on Monday, everything will stop. The King's Court on Monday will be.
It's funny how people get sick on Wednesdays and Thursdays around Champions League time and Europa League time.
I used to do it myself.
All right, you guys had mentioned something. I just want to go back to you two because you played with Dominic Oduro. You know, he's got ridiculous stats. He's got I'm going to pull his stats here while you guys are talking. I never thought he should have been moved from the Dynamo because of that pace. And it's easy to say that now, and I don't know what the circumstances was. But that guy absolutely can fly, and he has scored a lot of goals in Major League Soccer. So give me your thoughts on Dominic Oduro. And you know, I mean, look, he was often maligned in Houston, but that kind of pace, you can't find that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's – he was here. Honestly, I mean, I think it's –
beginning of his career, right?
Yeah, it's – I feel like it's all about the system for him. I mean, the system in Montreal, it works for him. But, I mean, I agree. I mean, the guy's pace is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I haven't really seen anyone as fast as him, to be honest. But, yeah, I mean, for some reason, I mean, he got his opportunities. I think the big thing was he had trouble putting away those opportunities, you know, with Brad, you know, slipping him through. I mean, the guy was getting a breakaway, two or three breakaways a game, maybe finishing one, sometimes not finishing. So I don't know if, you know, Houston was the best fit for him. So, I mean, kudos to him. I mean, he went to Chicago, did all right in Chicago. I mean, he had one season, I think, where he had 12 goals, but left, then went to Montreal. I mean, his career has blossomed from there.
How many goals? Do you guys have an idea how many goals he scored in MLS? I'm going to tell you in a second.
Since he's left Houston or including in his entire
Houston,
career?
He had six in Houston.
I'm going to go 35.
I'd say more than that. I'd say around 48, close to 50.
62 goals. Yes.
There you go. Yeah.
62 goals.
He had
nine in Dallas. He went to Red Bulls for three games, zero. In Houston, he had six in 44 appearances. He gets traded to the from the Dynamo to Chicago, and he goes and scores 18 goals in 66 games there. 18. After that, he goes to Columbus and gets 13. He had a brief stint in Toronto, didn't work out well, 24 appearances, two goals. And then he goes to Montreal and gets 14.
Here's my thing with Dominic. And you said that he was obviously, he was in Houston early part of his career. He was still learning. The last few years, I feel like Dominic Oduro has been a product of the explosion of popularity of soccer in the United States. Someone whose ego has been stroked. Someone who cares more about his hairstyle than he does finishing in the box. If Dominic Oduro put as much effort into finishing as he does into his hairdo, the kid wouldn't be in MLS anymore. He'd be scoring 20 goals a year, and he'd be somewhere in Europe.
He's got 62, Eddie.
He'd be somewhere in Europe.
You can't argue with that, whether he likes his hair or not.
He scored six goals in 44 games in Houston. Why did Dominic Kinnear trade him? He missed a freaking gimme in a playoff game.
I remember that.
In a playoff game?
A playoff game. It was the opening game of the year.
Yeah, I think that was the game.
And that was
Philly? Right.
I didn't like the way it was done because it was turned into an accountability thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
and
old
there was
school.
A bunch of guys accountable
I'm
for that
school.
Loss that day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm old
it
school.
It wasn't only Oduro.
Okay? Glenn, I'm old school. Yeah. I care about my performance on the field. I don't care about my hairdo. I don't care about anything else. I don't care about the color of my shoes, how I wear my socks, if they're up above my knees. I don't care. I look at players who I think have more potential to reach, and Dominic Oduro is one of those, but care more about these other little things.
Yeah, but welcome to the modern athlete.
I mean, listen,
it's a whole.
Well,
it's
okay,
a whole,
and I'm old school, so
it's
we'll
a whole
disagree,
different.
But,
and look, your point's taken. If you think he could have produced better
Sebastian
soccer,
Giovinco,
better soccer,
right? He's got tattoos.
Nobody
he's
can
got
argue,
a state, but he's
nobody can argue though with
out.
The fact that this guy scored 62 goals, and nobody can
and
argue
how many
that.
Years? How many years? What?
2006 to
10 years. Yeah. So 62 goals in 10 years. That's 6.2 goals a year. That's great.
It's a lot of goals.
6.2 goals a year for a striker with his pace?
A lot of goals.
6.2 goals per season.
Well, he's been a striker.
He's never been the primary striker on anybody's team. He's got 62 goals. That's a lot of goals.
Okay, how many assists does he have?
That's more goals than Will Bruin scored here, and I think
Will Bruin was with his rookie year.
Will had 53 in 6 years.
So that's
53 in 6 years.
Almost 10 a year.
But I'm saying they're different players. And I'm just saying that kind of pace doesn't grow on trees.
I think that it's wasted time.
In this league?
I think it's a case of one man's meat's another man's poison.
Yeah.
One manager will fancy him, another manager won't. You know, and that is critical with players, and that happens with everybody. You know.
All right, we have a caller here. Does he want to talk about Dominic Oduro? No, he wants to talk about the dynamometer.
Let's do it.
Dylan, what's on your mind, Dylan? Join the fun here with Corey Ash, Eddie Robinson, and Tom Clare.
Greetings, guys. Blessed. I know I don't have enough time. I just came in from the schools and stuff, but I just wanted to give you my opinion about the games Saturday, Houston Dynamo. It was excited. The players had energy. The fans, I mean, I wish we had more people out in the stadium to ram up the stadium, make more noise, but I guess that might, for the rest of the season, we might be get that kind of environment. But I just want to say, Glenn, I had good seats last game. It was incredible. And today I get a tour of the Dynamo Stadium with Mr. Hugo and Mr. Cole. Get to see the cannon and the locker room. And it was exciting. And I hope that we could keep that energy for the game coming up this Saturday. And, hey, Glenn, you're the best, man. Anytime I hear you on the radio, you get me excited for soccer.
Love it. Dylan, you're a great man. I'm glad you were at the game. I'm glad you had a good time. We always appreciate you calling into the program. So thank you very much for that. And keep up all the good work with the young kids that you work with.
Same to you, Glenn. Keep up the great work. I wish Soccer Matter was every day. Every day I wish it was.
Well, let's work on it. I get these three guys in here every day. We got a chance. Thank you,
Dylan.
All
right, Dylan. Cool. Bless up. Have a great night. You'll be safe all day. And you then know it's Glenn Davis, Soccer Matter, and Houston ESPN 97.5.
I'll tell you what, we got to save that bite. We're saving that bite there for promos. Yeah, save that Clutch City Cam. Man, you know.
It's awesome.
Today I'm walking my dog. Car flies by me, backs up. It's an old beat up pickup truck.
Was it me?
Guy slams on the brakes and he goes, Glenn, what's going on with the Dynamo this year? I've been a season ticket holder. He goes, I've been wasting my money the last 3 years. What's going on with the team now? But people are passionate. I didn't know why he was pulling back. I was, you know, is he going to pull a gun on me or what? But, you know, and I sit here and talk with this guy for 10 minutes. He's so fired up. I tell him there's some new things in the team. There's pace. There's excitement after game one. But this town, I mean, this town, the potential, as we all know, Tom, is here. Yep. It's percolating. Mm-hmm. But you got to find a way to blow this thing up, mm-hmm. you know? Yep. And I know you know it because – there's expats, there's Nigerians, it's incredible.
It's a great mix.
How do you bring it all together?
It's a great mix, you know, but, you know, seeing those empty seats week after week, it absolutely deflates me. And why they can't fill them, I just don't know. There's ways and means of doing it. And, you know, and I think that is what is one of the things, you know, that a lot of Dynamo supporters, you know, have worried about over the last few years since we moved into the new stadium.
Well, let's just put it, I want to put it to you guys, because you've played in both stadiums. This town, we all know, is challenging in its own way, but it's 6.5 million people, right? It looks as though the product's leaning the right way now, right? What do you guys think about the connection with Houston? Because I sometimes worry that our understanding of this market, I've lived here since 1984. I've seen this go from an oil town to what it is now. It's
professional sports. And in almost every town and every city and every sport, save maybe Green Bay in football and maybe the Texans in football, maybe Sporting KC in Major League Soccer or Portland or Seattle, winners draw fans.
Yep, that's what I was about to say.
When you win, when you win, you draw fans. Okay, so if you're not winning, what do you have to do to bring these people in? It's customer service.
Entertainment.
Yep. Okay. Has the Dynamo been entertaining the last 3 years?
They have. No, they have in the first game of 2017.
Even before that, Eddie.
The first game of 2016, they were entertaining. Yeah.
But I'm gonna vehemently disagree with you. It isn't just about winning. It's about entertainment now, and it's a move from. Yeah. I would be thinking exactly like you 5 years ago.
The Texans aren't entertaining. Mm-hmm. Eddie, maybe JJ Watt is.
Can I ask you one question, Eddie?
Started. Yes, please, sir.
Is the atmosphere at BBVA as good as what it was when it was at Robinson?
Of course it isn't. But, I mean, we came in such an ideal place. Yeah, the first game, mm-hmm. Brian Ching scores four mm-hmm. goals, and we win, 5-1, 5-2 mm-hmm. over Colorado. People are just
the energized. Timing was good because pro soccer hadn't been here for a while. But let's tell you, there were things done at Robertson that have not translated when you made the move across town.
People were energized.
There was a looseness there that
people
was
were
fun.
Energized after that first game at Robertson. I think people were energized after this first game last weekend.
Well, let's
I think
so.
We're going to see.
I agree.
A slightly larger crowd. I think the Dynamo are going to win again. If they don't win, it's going to be exciting. There's not going to be a Dynamo game this year where there aren't goals scored for either side unless they sort something out defensively.
Hence entertainment.
This is going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. People are going to want to watch it on the direct kick package, on DirecTV, on MLSLive.com. They're going to want to come to these games.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many people in the offseason, Corey, came over the last 3 to 4 years? It has been the product.
Right.
They'll come out. If the game is entertaining, you win just enough, they're going to come out. But it has to be, as Eddie said, it's got to be entertaining and exciting. Nobody wants to sit and see a team sitting in their own half and playing to a striker that doesn't have the pace to get behind the defense and not playing to his strengths. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It seems, you know, I agree with Eddie. I mean, I think obviously the game has shifted. You know, where before it was about winning, you know, 7, 08. Now it's
11, 12 teams, though, right?
Exactly. Now it's you see more of the, you know, the Giovincos who make the game exciting. You know, even Dominic Oduro with the crazy hair. But he's flashy, and people go to the games to
Eddie can't stand his hair.
But it's to be entertained. So I think if you can combine both, yeah, I mean, you'll be selling out, you know, every game.
Why can't we be a Portland and Seattle? I mean, why do we poo-poo that? We can be a Portland, Seattle, and an Orlando City, 100%.
Yeah,
that's 100%. A long conversation. But I think for another day.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the big problem with you know, you look at those markets, they don't have the Rockets, they don't have the Texans. Those are two big sports teams.
Yeah, that's always a good fallback position, and I believe there is truth to that. Right. Certain markets have less competition for things.
Right.
But listen. Nobody can ever take away from Portland and what they have done through all the years keeping the Portland Timber name alive and soccer alive professionally, whatever level it was.
Yeah.
USL, NASL, whatever. They've always kept it alive. This town's had professional soccer for a long time. You guys were the first guys who brought it back in the outdoor game. In between, it was indoor. But anyway, Tom Clare, thank you very much for coming in, Tom, tonight.
My pleasure.
Quick shout out for where we can get your books.
You can get them from any of the major booksellers, from Barnes & Noble, bookstore.com.
eBay.
Amazon.com. No, not off eBay. It's a bit expensive on eBay.
Once you buy it, you don't resell it.
Amazon
is what I meant to say.
I do have a new one being released on March the 26th. It's called Manchester United, Nostalgic Ramblings of an Old Red.
Bring those in. We're going to give some of those copies out.
It's a compilation of articles from the 250 I've written over the last 10-15 years.
Okay, Corey Ash, by the way, when you light off that El Capitan, make sure that thing isn't pointed towards the TV booth this weekend. Listen, best of luck Saturday. It's going to be a great moment to honor you, and looking forward to seeing you getting honored.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in, Corey. Eddie, I will see you. When will I see you?
Saturday.
Thanks for coming in, as always. Always enlightening the broadcast, and always fun in here with you, so thank you. That'll do it for tonight. Facebook Soccer Matters, Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc. We will say goodnight. Thanks to Clutch City Cam for filling in tonight for Tyler Scott. And don't forget, Cube 57, that's where you can watch the broadcast, 7 o'clock pregame this Saturday. Good night, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.